the same day as Kohlhester made his ionization measurement at 9,300 meters, which was 28th of June 1914. It was the same day as the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria took place and started the First World War. An era of nationalism starts the German appeal. In October 1914, 93 German professors, among them Wilhelm Röntgen, Max Planck, and 13 other scientists of comparably high repute, issued an appeal to the cultured world, a manifesto denying that Germany was responsible for the war, etc., etc. That, of course, also showed up in nominations to the Nobel Prize. This is shown in this graph here, which here is shows the proportion of nominations in physics and chemistry received by German scientists from different countries. And central power was a German and Austria, and you can see they're about the same all over. But allied nominations to nominate for a German scientist was sort of 10%, 10%, 10%, and dropped to zero during the World War I. And that's one further example of the nationalism. Well, the German appeal was followed by reactions from the Royal Society in London, for instance, demanded that the removal of all Germans and Austrians from the list of foreign members. And the French mathematician Picard, a former president of the French Academy of Sciences, told an influential member of the National Academy of the Sciences in the United States that personal relations with any kind would be impossible with German scientists. And in 1919, there was something called the International Research Council established. And that was a council to which countries that did fight against Germany were allowed to be. And also, in the rules for the International Council, one should withdraw from all existing scientific conventions in which Germany took part. In the 1920s, there were few measurements in the cosmic rays. The extraterrestrial nature of the radiation still questioned, actually. Millikan, in an APS meeting 1925, said, "The whole of the penetrating radiation is of local origin." However, in the next year, following year, he changed his mind after measurements in lakes and coined the name cosmic rays. So 1926 is the year when everybody, I think, agreed that cosmic rays are extraterrestrial. However, there was still a sort of battle between US and Europe in the years 1927 to 1930. Here's an article from 1928 from Hess, etc. And they should feststellung zur Geschichte der Entdeckung. So they should sort of lay down the really who did it. And Millikan, he answered in a letter in Nature, actually, an unfortunate aftermath of the war. So, but I think after 1930, there was sort of more calm. So coming now to the end about the Nobel Prize to Hess, and what you see here is the background is graphene, which was last year's Nobel Prize in Physics. So nominations for the 1936 Nobel Prize. The Royal Swedish Academy had received a total of 22 prize proposals from 31 nominators for 18 different prize candidates in physics that year. Mind you that nowadays it's an order of magnitude larger. Hess was nominated by Clay, by Amsterdam, and by Compton, Chicago for prize shared with Clay. Hess was nominated the first time in 31, and then in 33, and in 1934 also by Willstetter from Munich. Pacini was never nominated. I don't think anybody else was nominated. I think the important nomination was that one from Compton, and it is extremely well written, actually. He says, the time has now arrived, it seems to me, when we can say that the so-called cosmic rays definitely have their origin at such remote distances from the Earth that they may probably be called cosmic, and that the use of the rays has by now led to results of such importance that they may be considered discovery of the first magnitude. It is, I believe, correct to say that Hess was the first to establish the increase of the ionization observed in electroscopes with increasing altitude, and he was certainly the first to ascribe with confidence this increased ionization to radiation coming from outside the Earth. And finally, before it was appropriate to award a Nobel Prize for the discovery of these rays, it was necessary to await more positive evidence regarding their unique characteristics and importance in various fields of physics. It has now been accomplished. Studies of the magnetic latitude effect on cosmic rays have shown that they include electrical particles of much higher energy than are available from artificial sources. Further, that these rays come from a source which may be properly called cosmic. The usefulness of the rays have been demonstrated by the experiment which has revealed the existence of the positron. It is a very extraordinary well-written nomination, actually, and very clear, very clear. The recommendation to the Academy of the Nobel Committee, they point out that the discovery of cosmic rays has opened new areas for experiment in the theoretical physics of greatest significance to our understanding. And then they say, Hess, with his skillful experiments, have proven the existence of an extraterrestrial penetrating radiation, a discovery more fundamental than that of the radiation's corpuscular nature and that of the latitude variation of its intensity. One should remind you that at the time, one didn't know that the cosmic rays were protons. That was only in 1941 or so. Here is a photograph from the concert hall in Stockholm with Hess sitting with Carl Anderson, who they two shared the prize for the positron and for the cosmic rays. And here is Peter Debye, who got the chemistry prize. I think this photograph is probably from the time when he got the Nobel Prize, Hess. It's from his lab up in the Austrian Alps, and here is standing. And if you can read here, it says Station für Ultrastrahlenforschung. So the radiation had many names over the years. They called it Ultrastrahlenforschung und X-ray, I don't remember all. Anyway, I've come to the conclusion that the discovery of cosmic rays came after detailed studies using electroscopes on land, at sea level, on sea, in sea, and at high altitudes. Scientists in Europe and North America participated in the work, characterized by lack of communication and by nationalism caused primarily by World War I. The important contribution by Cini, made a few years before the crucial balloon flight by Hess, was not fully recognized. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for discussion. Anyone has any questions or comments?
They're probably more serious than I take them.
How should Bettini's contribution have been recognized?
Oh, I think he was written in Italian, the people in Germany were written in German, and people in England and in North America were written in English. I think there was a lack of communication.
But do you think, would it have been appropriate for him to share the prize?
I don't think so. Because Pacini, he never made the statement which Hess made, that there is an extraterrestrial radiation. He said that there was a radiation which could not be explained by the radioactive sources on the surface of the land.
That's true.
Do you know of other examples in the archives? I know you served on the Nobel Committee. Are there other examples like this where conflict, like war or nationalistic tendencies, that interfere with the award? The prize.
I think so, that there is this book by Elizabeth Crawford about nationalism and internationalism in science. And I think that is named, but I don't know about, I have not studied in detail anymore. I mean, I studied this because I work in myself in cosmic rays, and so I found it very appropriate now when we are closing into the 100th anniversary of the discovery. So that's why I started to look at it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Pacini, how he got onto the subject of cosmic rays, what his research trajectory was that led up to it?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Can you tell us a little bit more about Pacini and the kind of research he was doing that led him to become interested in the subject?
I don't know about that, actually. I don't know about how he became so interested. I think he had a somewhat difficult time because he was not appointed to do research. He was appointed to do something else. It was just towards the end of his life when he got the professorship at Bari in Italy.
He really has nothing else in physics abstracts in that period. And physics abstracts really did pick up the French and Italian literature. I just looked up his name and I only found Franco in Domenico. So he wasn't doing much research, as you said.
I think there are many more people that are forgotten or maybe not fully recognized in the history of science.
Could you go back to the first.
Yeah, thank you.
Or the reference line, that one.
Can you read it?
In response to the question about nationalism and Nobel Prizes, there's maybe a counterexample that in 1945, Otto Hahn was awarded the prize for discovering fission.
Okay. Yeah. I think maybe there were also things like this during the Second World War. It's possible. Possible.
We'll time for one more question.
At least in my time was not.
Okay, so thanks again to our speaker.